Kia ora. This program is brought to you by Wellington Access Radio. Get your voice heard.
Kia ora koutou. Welcome to the Alcoholics Anonymous Wellington meeting on air. And I'm David and I'm an alcoholic and chair of today's meeting, brought to you on Wellington Access Radio 106.1 FM. Now, today's guests are from the Friday Wellington Dry Dock 30 meeting. And so welcome, everybody, for coming here. We'll introduce you in just a moment. We start each, we open every AA meeting with the Serenity Prayer, and we'll have that now. So, God,
grant us the serenity to accept the things I cannot change, courage to change the things I can, and wisdom to know the difference.
Alcoholics Anonymous is a fellowship of men and women who share their experience, strength and hope with each other, that they may solve their common problem and help others to recover from alcoholism. The only requirement for membership is the desire to stop drinking. There are no dues or fees for AA membership. We are self-supporting through our own contributions. AA is not allied with any sect, denomination, politics, organisation or institution, does not wish to engage in any controversy, neither endorses nor opposes any causes. Our primary purpose is to stay sober and help other alcoholics to achieve sobriety. And kia ora, I'm David, I'm an alcoholic, and we'll introduce the other meeting members here.
My name's Willie D, I'm an alcoholic.
Hey, Willie.
I'm Beryl, and I'm an alcoholic.
Hi, Beryl.
I'm Dennis, and I'm an alcoholic.
Dennis.
Kia ora, I'm Brenda, I'm an alcoholic.
Hi, Brenda.
Brenda. Now, I'd like to ask Willie to read how it works, which is from the big book, pages 58 to 60.
Sure. Said, my name's William, an alcoholic. How it works. Rarely have we seen a person fail who has thoroughly followed our path. Those who do not recover are people who cannot or will not completely give themselves to this simple program. Usually men and women who are constitutionally incapable of being honest with themselves. There are such unfortunates. They are not at fault. They seem to have been born that way. They are naturally incapable of grasping and developing a manner of living which demands rigorous honesty. The chances are less than average. There are those too who suffer from grave emotional and mental disorders, but many of them do recover if they have the capacity to be honest. Their stories disclose in a general way what we used to be like, what happened and what we're like now. If you have decided you want what we have and are willing to go to any length to get it, then you are ready to take certain steps. At some of these we balked. We thought we could find an easier, softer way, but we could not. With all the earnestness at our command, we beg of you to be fearless and thorough from the very start. Some of us have tried to hold on to our old ideas and the result was nil, until we let go absolutely. Remember that we deal with alcohol, cunning, baffling, powerful. Without help, it is too much for us, but there is one who's all power. That one is God. May you find him now. Half measures availed us nothing. We stood at a turning point. We asked his protection and care with complete abandon. Here are the steps we took, which are suggested as a programme of recovery. One, we admitted we were powerless over alcohol, that our lives had become unmanageable. Two, came to believe that a power greater than ourselves could restore us to sanity. Three, made a decision to turn our will and our lives over to the care of God as we understood him. Four, made a searching and fearless moral inventory of ourselves. Five, admitted to God, to ourselves and to another human being the exact nature of our wrongs. Six, were entirely ready to have God remove all these defects of character. Seven, humbly asked him to remove our shortcomings. Eight, made a list of all persons we had harmed and became willing to make amends to them all. Nine, made direct amends to such people wherever possible, except when to do so would injure them or others. 10. Continued to take personal inventory, and when we were wrong, promptly admitted it. 11. Sought through prayer and meditation to improve our conscious contact with God as we understood him, praying only for knowledge of his will for us and the power to carry that out. 12. Having had a spiritual awakening as the result of these steps, we try to carry this message to alcoholics and to practice these principles in all our affairs. Many of us exclaimed, what an order, I can't go through with it. Do not be discouraged. No one among us has been able to maintain anything like perfect adherence to these principles. We are not saints. The point is that we are willing to grow along spiritual lines. The principles we've set down are guides to progress. We claim spiritual progress rather than spiritual perfection. With the description of the alcoholic, the chapter to the agnostic, and our personal adventures before and after make clear three pertinent ideas. That we were alcoholic and could not manage our own lives. That probably no human power could have relieved our alcoholism. That God could and would if he were so.
Thanks, Willie. And this is the Wellington Alcoholics Anonymous meeting on air on Wellington Access Radio 106.1 FM. And could I now ask Brenda, please, to read today's daily reflection.
Got it. My name's Brenda. I'm an alcoholic. Daily reflection from the book Daily Reflections. 7th of February, A Path to Faith. True humility and an open mind can lead us to faith, and every AA meeting is an assurance that God will restore us to sanity if we rightly relate ourselves to him. 12 Steps and 12 Traditions, page 33. My last drunk had landed me in hospital, totally broken. It was then that I was able to see through my past float in front of me. I realised that through drinking I had lived every nightmare I had ever had. My own self-will and obsession to drink had driven me into a dark pit of hallucinations, blackouts and despair. Finally beaten, I asked for God's help. His presence told me to believe. My obsession for alcohol was taken away and my paranoia has since been lifted. I am no longer afraid. I know my life is healthy and sane.
Thanks, Brenda. And this is the Wellington Alcoholics Anonymous meeting on air. If you'd like to contact AA, you can try our 0800 number, which is you can contact somebody, you know, to talk or to find out about a meeting or any other information. That's 0800 229 6757. Or you could go to the very excellent AA website, which has all the information you'd ever want to know about alcoholism and AA and lists of the meetings in Wellington and everywhere else in the country. And that's aa.org.nz. Now, could we start with sharing, and who will I pick? Perhaps Dennis, could you start, please?
Because... Yeah, sure. My name's Dennis and I'm an alcoholic.
Hi, Dennis.
Yeah, my drinking probably started, it was in the early 70s, we used to go to parties, and in these parties there'd always be one side of the room where all the drunks were, we'd call them, and all the other side would be all the druggies. And I was one of the ones who had a foot in each camp, and that was the beginning of my drinking. And from my first drunk, I got drunk. I remember it was on Blackberry Nip. And I spewed up, and I thought, man, I was bleeding inside and so forth. And but the funny thing is, you know, nothing ever changed, you know. I continued drinking up until 1996, and it just got worse. I mean, if you hear anything we say, it's a progressive disease. It certainly was for me. It was a slow kill for me. It was 26 years of drinking, and... yeah, I had a chance meeting with a recovering alcoholic who, when I think, look back now, and what, having been in the program for a while, realised that it was a higher power, or God, as I choose to call my higher power, was working, you know, put this person in front of me. And I ended up going to a meeting on the Monday night. And as I say, it was the first time, it started at 7:30, it was the first time in 26 years that I wasn't drunk under the influence of something, but you know, I wasn't drunk at 7:30 at night. And I remember it vividly. It was a meeting called Bulls and Bears on Tinicori Road. And I remember where I was sitting, and it was very close to the door because I really didn't want to be there. And Yeah, I sat through the meeting and I can't remember a thing. I was, you know, wasn't really listening or anything like that. Didn't really want to be there. And but I got there. And when the meeting finished, I got up, took two steps, and I went to walk out the door. And these two big guys whacked their hands out and shook my hand and said, "Welcome." And I haven't had a drink since. And that was a journey, my AA journey. My drinking journey was not pleasant, and most people would know what it's like. It's not pleasant, you know. And as I say, it got worse and very bad. And, my journey began. And I was basically taken through these good people of basically seeing how they recovered. And the big thing I wanted to know was, how do you live sober? You know, at 26 years, it created all my lows, my highs, my middle, whatever. But I was always drunk. So, you know, I didn't know how to live a life. So I was 41 years of age at the time. And, thankfully that I heard early on that if you want to stick around, you've got to stick around. And you've got to put your ass on a seat and you've got to seek help, you know. And there's no better person to help. For me, there's no better person who can help you as a recovering alcoholic that can show you the path they've walked, you know. That's what I did, and people came into my life, male, female, all sorts of people came into my life, and especially, you know, at meetings you're hearing all walks of life. Didn't matter who they were, this disease doesn't distinguish between what you do or who you are and how much money you got, how much money you haven't got, or where you live, whatever. You will be an alky, you'll be a drunk. And yeah, I just listened. I was told, you know, in those days I was always told, you know, take the cotton wool out of your ears and put it in your mouth and listen. And listen for the similarities, not the differences. And because there's so many different people, different stories and whatever, but there's the one common thing is that when you put a first drink in you can't stop. And for me, it's been a great journey, you know, really great journey. Met some really great people. I could honestly say that the bulk of my friends are from the fellowship. I still enjoy going to meetings. You know, that is the biggest thing. It's the biggest thing. It's like it's like a lifeline, really. And I don't treat just that as a dependence. It's joy. I love going to meetings. I like seeing people come into the rooms. And then it talks about in the big book, you know, it talks about, you know, the eyes open. They go, and it's amazing to see people, you know, not looking at the floor and can actually look at you in the eye. And recovery is a great thing, but it's hard, you know. It's just like, you know, as I say, I was 41 and starting to learn how to live, so I had to know how to have relationships with my kids, my wife, business people. I had my own business at the time. It all changed, you know, the whole playing field changed. And I couldn't have done it without Alcoholics Anonymous. And by getting a sponsor, going through the steps with a sponsor who's done the steps and been led through, and then talking to others as well. And if you know, there's something you want to know, you want to look through the 12 steps when you're looking through the big book and just see. And when you look at it, you think, that's probably the exact way I live to a T. You know, I wasn't honest. You know, so many things. You know, I never faced up to things. And, it was just, as I say, it was a learning curve that I had to go through. It was basically a change of life, how I had to go through. And it's painful, you know. There's parts where you have to look back at your past and... there's a lot of unpleasantries, but there's also a lot of good things there too, you know, when you start to look back honestly. And that's the other thing, you have to be honest and rigorous from the very start. And, I just, as I say, being sober today is great. You know, I've got my wife, I've got my children, my grandchildren, and I've got lots of great friends, you know. And when I ended up, you know, stopped drinking, my wife and I basically lived in separate parts of the house. I didn't have a lot of friends. I did most of my drinking at home by myself. So taking it from there to what I have today is chalk and cheese. It's incredible, you know. But as I say, I still enjoy meetings, and hopefully, you know, I'll keep coming back. Thank you.
Thanks, Dennis.
Thanks, Dennis.
I'm David. I'm an alcoholic. I'm the host today for the Wellington Alcoholics Anonymous meeting on air. In the room here today is the guest. We've got four people who have had something like 100 years combined sobriety between them, which is really quite extraordinary. At an AA meeting, as Dennis was saying, you'll get fine people from, for many, many years of attending meetings to people. It's their first meeting. They haven't had something to drink today. Others have, a week or so, a month, 6 months, a year. I found myself that one stays, I'm sober by keeping on coming to the meetings. And it's one thing to stop drinking. It's a matter of, carrying on not and not going back to the nightmare that used to be, and coming to the meetings helps with that. Could we now, shall I ask, please, for Beryl to share?
Thank you. I'm Beryl and I'm an alcoholic.
Hi, Beryl. Hi, Beryl.
I'm sitting here thinking, here I am in a radio station telling whoever's listening that I'm an alcoholic. Alcoholism is not a disease that people talk about. It's a secret. And I grew up in that kind of environment. My dad was an alcoholic and it was never talked about. And I remember being fairly young in my life and looking at my dad and thinking, I'm never, ever going to be like you. I mean, he was a nice man, and since I've been in AA, I've realised that he had a disease of alcoholism, and that covered the person that he was. Anyway, when I picked up a drink, I was still at school, and I was at a school... Well, it wasn't a school party. It was just a gathering. And anyway, I had a glass of beer, and I remember that feeling, the warmth, and then I suddenly fitted in. I didn't drink again after that, but it was about... I think I really started picking up drinking when I was about 16, and I'd go to Tinarama, and at Tinarama... This is a long time ago. At Tinarama, you weren't allowed alcohol. So what we did, we'd have a bottle of Coke and we'd put the alcohol in the bottle of Coke. And because I fitted in, it made me feel like I fitted in. And then it progressed. It just progressed. And it was, it's a horrible disease. And, I pick up a drink, my body takes over and wants more. And then I get drunk. And then when I'm drunk, I don't know what I'm going to do, and you sure as hell don't know what I'm going to do. And, in that reading it was humility. Well, I didn't know what humility was. I still find it a bit hard to recognise humility. But I knew what humiliation was, because I'd have to wake up the next day and think, what the hell have I done? Sometimes it was, where have I been? And it progressed, and I lost things. I lost a marriage. I lost my self-respect. But I carried on. I just carried on, and that's the insanity: doing the same thing over and over again and expecting it to be different. It'll be different this time. I won't drink so much. I'll drink something different. It was never like that. First drink, off we go. There's this saying that normal people have three drinks and feel out of control. Somebody who has a drinking problem has three drinks and feels in control. And that was me. I could tell you all the stories, because there's some pretty horrible ones and there's some pretty funny ones. But, normal people don't drive a car, wake up the next day, go up to the car and the car has no doors, and you don't know where the doors are or how they fell off or whatever. Just mad things like that. When I say I'm an alcoholic, I've thought about this quite a lot. Saying I'm an alcoholic is a very powerful word because what it means to me, I think differently to other people, I drink differently to other people, and I was always trying to be like other people. So that's why I drank, to fit in. It was, and it never worked. And, you know, luckily drinking, driving and having two little girls who saw things that they should never have seen, which is really common with alcoholics. It's all the stuff you do and you're in, like, I'm in blackout, I don't know what I'm doing, and coming to from blackout and wondering what the hell I've done. So I don't miss it. But I continue to go to AA, to AA meetings, because I can forget. And when I'm at AA meetings, I'm reminded of where I've come from, and for newcomers who come in and tell these stories, of exactly where I can go back to and what I can lose. And I don't want to lose... I don't want to lose my life, let's put it that way. It's and I've got less time ahead of me and I've got more time behind me, you know. And we have a saying that we don't live in the past, we don't close the door on the past either, because the past reminds me. And that's what I get when I go to meetings and hear people share, you know, they tell me of their past, and I am reminded. I'm really glad that I'm here, and I think this is quite amazing that we have this radio station that we can talk openly about things, and that if anyone out there is thinking they've got a drinking problem, well, then they should check it out, because people who don't have a drinking problem don't think they've got a drinking problem. I used to ask my friends who I drank with, do you think I've got a drinking problem? And what do you reckon they'd say? No, because if I had a drinking problem, they drank as much as me, so they had a drinking problem. I could only drink with people who drank like me as well. You know, I fitted in, and anyway. So that's all in the... hopefully that's all in the past, and today I haven't had a drink. And if I don't have a drink today, then I've got a chance. If I pick up a drink, who knows what will happen. So I'm glad I'm here, and thank you.
Thanks, Beryl.
Thanks, Beryl.
Thanks, Beryl. And this is the Wellington Alcoholics Anonymous meeting on air, which you're getting on Wellington Access Radio 106.1 FM. And if you'd like to speak to somebody from AA... just give a call on the 0800 number, which is 0800 229 6757, or go to the website, which has all the information that you might ever want to find, including where to find an AA meeting and to go to near you. And the website is aa.org.nz. Now, can we ask Willie if he could share, please?
Sure. My name's Willie D. I'm an alcoholic.
Willie,
Dry Dock 30 in Wellington, my home group, has been for many, many years. My sobriety is 30th of May 1994. I don't often talk about that actual day, but it's great for me because I still take my life one day at a time. And any newcomers out there, this program can work. If you get 1 week, 1 month, whatever, one day at a time, you're winning. And I'm very grateful to Alcoholics Anonymous. It's given me a good life. In fact, it saved my life, and in fact, I had an existence. I was so dependent on booze, especially at the very end, that all I could do was just think booze, drink booze, go to sleep, wake up. Cost me an awful lot of problems in my life. But I drank for 20 years. When I stopped fighting the whole world, I get sober. As simple as that, you know. I was at 15, I was a daily drinker, I was blacking out. Before I was 18, I was taking a morning drink just to get to work, stop the shakes, take away the fear, because I couldn't remember what happened last night, and the panic and the guilt and the remorse and all that stuff. And I was a total slave from day one to it never got any better. It's a progressive illness, you know, and I just kept drinking more and more. And for me, I really had to hit a bad rock bottom. I hit three or four. I moved to New Zealand in 1989 and had a series of car crashes, and it took my marriage, booze took my marriage away, it took my sanity, it took my self-respect, my dignity. At the very end, it was just me and the bottle in a wee bedsit drinking myself to death. And I thought I was living the life of Riley for a while, you know. But it was just total dependence on the booze. I'd lost everything that I loved. So booze took everything from me, and Alcoholics Anonymous has given me back so much more in this life. So what I want to say, if there's any newcomers there, because I was a newcomer quite a few times, I was in and out for 18 months, I would not look for the similarities, I'd look for the differences only, and I found plenty. I never believed it was the first drink. I learned later it is the first drink that triggers that terrible physical craving that I can't stop. And non-addictive people do not understand that feeling, but I know what it is, and we know what it is, you know. So I learned that I suffered from, for me, I thought it was a mental illness, you know. It's an obsession of the mind, and I can't crave alcohol until I take it. But when I kept relapsing in and out for 18 months, I just kept believing it's not the first drink. I can drink 10 pints. I can have a few whiskies. I can still play snooker and pool and, you know, and sort of be reasonable, you know. I never understood it was the first drink that just set me off. As soon as I got one drink, I can't guarantee my behaviour. So I fought this thing for 18 months. I had four, in that time, I had four detoxes in hospital and two rehabs before it finally sunk into me. I'm 100% alcoholic. And I learned when I take one drink, I cannot stop drinking. I cannot stop. No matter how much I want to stop, I can't. I forget everything that I love and value in my life. Everything's out the window. I've got to have another drink. I learned for me that I heard in these rooms a lovely saying, and it was, I'm a slow learner and a fast forgetter. And when it came to booze, I was that person. Slow learner, fast forgetter. Next day, oh yeah, that happened last week. A few days later, I'm okay. I drink, drink, drink. So to get sober, I had to smash the meetings out. I had to get grateful. I had to do the steps. I had to get a sponsor. I had to become part of Alcoholics Anonymous. I had to get in the middle of the bed. There's safety in numbers, and I was told that, and I stuck to that. Safety in numbers. I didn't want to be a boundary rider, just, you know, trotting around, and one day you get picked off, you know. So the safety numbers, it's why I still come to meetings, you know. It's a long time, but I take it a day at a time. I come to meetings because I love Alcoholics Anonymous. I might be able to give something back, but bottom line is I need the meetings. I need the fellowship. I hear my problems in the meetings, and I hear my solutions in the meetings. And that feeling of fellowship is incredible. For me, this is the only place I feel I truly belong. Every other thing I joined, I was a bit part player. I didn't hang around long, and I'd start something, then go into something else, something else. But I've stuck at Alcoholics Anonymous because I got that gift of desperation they talk about. I just knew I couldn't go on. The jumping off point, it was, I hated myself, I hated everything, and I thought, if I can't stop drinking, I'm going to kill myself. It was that, it got down to that. And this particular rock bottom triggered it off. So I'm very, very grateful to Alcoholics Anonymous. The first word in the steps is we. This is a we program. You know, I get drunk, we get sober. I need this support. Because I tried to do it for 18 months through doctors and psychologists and counsellors and, you know, self, everything. I could not do it. And I need to be at the coal face, you know, and it's as simple as that. And I hear the amazing stuff in here. The first step saved my life. 100% the first step saved my life. I wouldn't be here today. I was in bad shape, but I think maybe I would have had a year left. I was so thin, I didn't eat, and I just shook and I drank. I was broken. So step one saved my life. Step four and five saved my sanity. And, you know, they say that you're as sick as your secrets. You've got to work your way through the steps. I did to the best of my ability. And I just take things one day at a time. And what's said here today, you go to meetings, you see people come in a hell of a state, and then they recover. And then their families start recovering because we impact everybody with their drinking, you know. And today, I have a great life, you know. I got remarried in sobriety. I've got a good job. I've got, you know, my family, my two sons, my life. I've got two grandkids. I've got loads of friends in and out of the fellowship. I've got a bloody good life. My health's reasonable, you know. I have nothing to complain. If there's anything wrong happening for me, you know what? It's a luxury problem compared to what I used to have. Mm-hmm. It's a luxury problem. And all I know is when I wake up in the morning, ask the higher power, give me another sober day, make your higher power whatever you want. If you're a newcomer, you don't understand the word God, make it group of drunks, gift of desperation, make it anything. Just believe that your best thinking brought you in the doors of Alcoholics Anonymous pretty broken. So my thinking was flawed and I needed to believe something else could help me. That's what this fellowship has done for me. So I'll never thank Alcoholics Anonymous enough. I can't. All I can do is just keep trying to carry the AA message to somebody, not my message, but the AA message, as in the big book and the steps, and just do the next right thing. And I still do 3 meetings a week. Sometimes I do 4. If I'm struggling with any emotional stuff, I'll do 5, 6, and 7. It doesn't matter, because I know that when I go to meetings, I've got respite from my head for an hour or so, and then I can... It just passes. It just passes, you know? So I'm very, very grateful to be sitting here today, another sober day, and we'll check out the
Thanks, Willie.
Thanks, Willie.
And just, this is the Alcoholics Anonymous meeting on air on Wellington Access Radio 106.1 FM. And the guests today are from the Wellington Friday night Dry Dock 30 meeting. And could we ask Brenda to share, please?
Kia ora, my name's Brenda. I'm an alcoholic.
Hi, Brenda.
It's lovely to be here. I really enjoyed the sharing that I've heard. What I love about Alcoholics Anonymous is our experiences are all very different, but we all end up in the same place with our drinking, completely munted, and you know, brought to our knees, I guess, by drinking. And you know, Alcoholics Anonymous has provided a solution for each of us, even though we're all really different. I'm pretty bog standard. I started my drinking at 14, like most kids, in the bush with my mates, with a bottle of vodka, 3 of us. And, you know, I thought it was fantastic. I thought magic happened. The first drink I had, things changed for me. I did not know that there was an abnormal reaction to alcohol. I didn't realise my friends hadn't had the same reaction. They didn't think that their life wasn't transformed instantly like mine was. Like, all my worries fell away. I thought I'd found the solution to all my problems at 14. I had so many, as we do. And, you know, my shyness fell away. I could sing and dance and, you know, it all happened in a bush around the back in a vacant section. And I always think that the neighbours must have seen all this rustling noise and they didn't realise how much my life was being transformed at that moment, you know. Because I thought, you know, I found the answer, like I say, to all my... solution to all my problems. And I continued to drink as much as I could, as often as I could from that moment on. I drank every weekend and I went into blackout right from the get-go. There was no line crossed. I just drank straight away. And I really liked blackout. I thought it's a bonus. I thought people would come to and people say you did this and you do that and I just deny it. Go, I don't remember. It didn't happen, you know. And, you know, I did a lot of things and life became very chaotic. Very quickly I got... kicked out of school. I went to school drunk a couple of times because it livened it up. They didn't like it. I thought it was funny. They didn't like it. And I got kicked out of home at 15. As a direct result of my drinking, I actually just thought my parents were being mean to me and being unkind. But in actual fact, I just kept getting drunk and coming home and being abusive. And the trouble with me with my drinking is I could go one moment to being, you know, really funny and nice, and then suddenly I turn into a monster and then I'd be... you know, screaming and crying and carrying on, all in the space of a very short space of time once the alcohol hit. Mm. You never knew if I was going to be suicidal or homicidal. Mm. That was the problem. And I went from a mouse to a monster within seconds, you know. But I, you know, by that stage I was in blackout and I didn't really care. So I come to the next day and people would be confused and wondering what, you know, mad with me, and I'd be wondering what the problem was. And I have this... ability to forget, as Willie said, you know, I'm a fast forgetter. The next day I would wake up a bit remorseful because people were mad with me, but by the afternoon I was drinking again, you know, because I've forgotten what happened the night before. And you know, I thought this time it would, every time I thought this time it would be different, for some magic reason I will actually drink like a normal person. I mean, I didn't really think I was abnormal, but you know, I love what they say that alcoholics what is it that you know, if we're controlling our drinking, we're not enjoying it. If we're enjoying it, we're not in control. And that's, I loved that lack of control that alcohol gave me. Alcoholics Anonymous came to me when I was 18. I didn't come to it. It came knocking at the door like Jehovah's Witnesses. Not that they were, but they were actually sent by my relatives. And they offered, they told me the true nature of what was wrong with me, the true nature of my malady, as it talks about in our big book, that I was alcoholic and I would never be able to drink normally. And nobody had ever told me that because I didn't know my drinking was abnormal. It just was what it was. And they sowed a seed. It didn't take. I went to meetings for 3 months and then I went drinking again, thinking I'd had a 3 month break. Life would be very different now because I know, you know. And it wasn't. I went straight back into blackout drinking and being in trouble again. Within 18 months, I was back in the same trouble. The end came for me when I turned 20 and could legally go in a pub. And I had always said to myself, when I'm 20 and go in a pub, I'm going to drink like an adult because it's going to be on tap. I'll drink like a lady. I'll cross my legs and hold my cigarette high and make sensible conversation. And what happened was I walked into the pub and I guzzled the beer, you know, the alcohol, like six pigs at a trough, and I fell off the stool and burnt myself with a cigarette and, you know, didn't make any sensible conversation at all. And I only was in the pub from November to March, and I crawled out completely demoralised by my own attempts to drink like a normal person, completely mystified. I came to Alcoholics Anonymous. I didn't want to be here. You know, I was 20 years old. I thought my life was over. I thought it was going to be ginger beer and Jesus from here on in, and I didn't want a bar of that. And I have to say it's been a lot of ginger beer, ginger ale, Coke, you know. But no Jesus, and I found a way of life that has transformed my life the way I wanted it to transform, but without needing the alcohol to do that transformation. And it has been a slower transformation, but, you know, I'm not the person who came in all those years ago. My life has been transformed by Alcoholics Anonymous. I always say that I had no idea what the rules were to life. It's like we say I was behind the door when somebody handed out the rules to life and they never gave it to me. So I just muddled along, you know, and if I made any choices, though, they were always the wrong one. If I weighed them up, I always made the wrong choice because it seemed more exciting and more fun. And couldn't figure out how to make the right choices. And, you know, the 12 Steps of Alcoholics Anonymous guides my life today about how to make those choices. You know, there's still things I want to do that I think, oh, that'll be fun. And, you know, I apply the program and, you know, make the right choices, which is a huge gift because I had no clue. I was baffled at 14 when I picked up my first drink. When I put it down at 20, I was still baffled by how life worked. And today I'm not so baffled with working the program of Alcoholics Anonymous. And, yeah, I've had a fantastic life here to date, and I have no reason to believe it wouldn't continue. I come, as they say, to hear the newcomer, see where I've been, remember where I've been. But honestly, I can actually remember my last drunk and how bad it was when I first came in all those years ago. I can still see myself and feel it. And I know that's not far away from me. It's an arm's length away if I chose to drink, you know, if I chose to not do this program. And but I also come because I hear in the stories, you know, what life can be and the opportunities that I get by living a sober life, which I thought would be glum. You know, but it's not. It's been a great adventure. You know, I've done everything that life has had on offer, you know, which were things I never thought for myself that I would happen. The normal life I didn't think was for me. You know, having a job, having a career, you know, having a family. And I just, you know, I've grown up in Alcoholics Anonymous, which was something I wasn't doing. I wasn't growing up. I was just bumbling along as like a giant child. Well, I wasn't that big, but, you know, just like a old child. And I was destined to remain that way, you know, just completely baffled by life. And Yeah, and today my life isn't chaotic. You know, it is led by a power greater than myself. It's not driven by my own needs and desires and crazy way of thinking. I suffer from alcoholism. I don't suffer from alcohol. I suffer from alcoholism. And that's why I need to come to Alcoholics Anonymous to keep that alcoholism in, not in check, but to learn to live with a chronic condition of alcoholism, which is, you know, basically a mental illness, which makes me think differently to the rest of the world. And, yeah. And, you know, I so isolated my drinking, so isolated. And in AA, I found a community of people who think like me. Mm-hmm. And that's a huge gift, a huge gift. You don't have to be alone anymore. I don't either. Thank you.
Thanks, Brenda.
And this is the Wellington Alcoholics Anonymous meeting on air with the guests today from Dry Dock 30. And you're listening to this on Wellington Access Radio 106.1 FM or possibly on the podcast afterwards. You can telephone and speak to somebody at AA on 0800 229 6757 and find meetings and much other information on the AA website, which is aa.org.nz. The AA On Air radio program you're listening to also has a Facebook page. We know we have a lot of listeners, especially to the podcast, from around New Zealand and around the world. If you leave a message on the Facebook page, we can even say hi to you from this program. Just first name only, please. And you find that on the Facebook page. It's called AA On Air Wellington. So AA On Air Wellington. Now we're coming to the towards the close of this meeting, and could we please ask Beryl to read the promises?
The AA promises. If we are painstaking about this phase of our development, we will be amazed before we're halfway through. We're going to know a new freedom and a new happiness. We will not regret the past, nor wish to shut the door on it. We will comprehend the word serenity, and we will know peace. No matter how far down the scale we have gone, excuse me, we will see how our experience can benefit others. That feeling of uselessness and self-pity will disappear. We will lose interest in selfish things and gain interest in our fellows. Self-seeking will slip away. Our whole attitude and outlook upon life will change. Fear of people and of economic insecurity will leave us. We will intuitively know how to handle situations which used to baffle us. We will suddenly realise that God is doing for us what we could not do for ourselves. Are these extravagant promises?
We think not.
They're being fulfilled among us, sometimes quickly, sometimes slowly. They will always materialise if we work for them. Thank you.
Thanks, Beryl. And you have listened to and been listening to the Wellington Alcoholics Anonymous meeting on air, and this comes to you every fourth Saturday on Wellington Access Radio 106.1 FM, and so the next meeting on air is 4 weeks from today. So it's not a monthly Saturday; it's every fourth Saturday, and the next meeting is on the 7th of March at 10 o'clock. So you can listen to this on its as a podcast, as I said, or live on 106.1 FM. And just one last time to let you know the Alcoholics Anonymous 7 day a week, almost 24 hours a day telephone number to contact and speak to somebody. That's 0800 229 6757. Right, and as we do with every AA meeting, we close with the Serenity Prayer. So thank you, the Dry Dock 30 people, for being a guest here today, and thank you to everybody for listening. And we'll close this meeting here with the Serenity Prayer.
Thanks, David.
Thanks, David.
God,
grant me the serenity to accept the things I cannot change, courage to change the things I can, and wisdom to know the difference.
Keep coming back. It works if you work at it.
And that is really true.
That program was brought to you by Wellington Access Radio. Get your voice heard. Thanks New Zealand On Air for funding accessmedia.nz.